First hot take is
what? What you call
hot take? It's a hot take, man.
What you thought he said?
Just hot cakes.
hot cakes.
First hot take is: does the toilet paper pull from the top or the bottom? Who want to take it?
If you ask my wife, it's from the bottom, which I don't understand. But so I actually end up going around to our bathrooms and actually don't even tell her. I just flip it and turn it, get it right.
Wait, I'm confused. Are you saying that
top.
You
support from the top?
Leave your bathroom and go to a different bathroom?
No, he's saying she puts them up there from the.
Yeah, so like oftentimes she'll be the one that typically changes them out. So I'll go to the bathroom, any bathroom really. I go and I see, like, bro, like, well, I'm starting to pull and it's.
I flip that one, and then
I go to the rest of the bathroom.
Because I agree with you, but what's the stronger version to pull it from the bottom versus the top? Like, why do you like one versus the other?
Because for my answer is from the top you can pull, and you can pull it off.
I get
like, you roll it off.
So you agree?
It folds easier from the top. Yes.
Okay.
From the other way, it don't.
Yeah, because you can't just you gotta.
It just be hanging, and you gotta reach. It's a longer reach too.
I don't flip back and roll up. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. I don't look when I put it on. I really don't.
Oh, you one of those?
I really don't care, but I find myself coming in and seeing it the same way. I never look. I just put it on however it is.
Oh, you man.
But one, I hate putting it on the roll. You know, I'm not a toilet paper. I don't like really.
Oh, you use butt wipes.
I like flushable wipes and things of that nature.
No, they ain't that good for your septic system, right?
Hey, flushable.
Yeah, they say flushable, but
they are not actually.
I haven't had an issue yet, but I just put the roll on and just,
And also, all right, so if you go to a hotel or a resort, they go from the top, and then they do the nice little fold.
Yeah, they do.
Little V-fold.
And the only way you can do a V-fold and be seen is from the top.
That's there you go.
All right, so we got Darnell. He's kind of in the middle. You don't really care that much. I'm talking about from a pulling standpoint. I ain't talking about loading the toilet in there, the toilet paper in there. I'm saying from a pulling perspective, or when you sit down and
when I have to pull, I like to pull from under. I don't know. It's like I like to pull it from under when I do have.
I feel like he's never really thought about this. I feel like he's never really thought about.
No, but when I do, I don't pull. But when I do, I like to that. But I do like the concept of what he said. Because come to think of it, it always is like that. Right. So it must be the right way.
So, Drew, where are you? Are you on the top or the bottom?
What?
That came out wrong. But go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so I load my toilet paper from pulling from the top.
All right. So
it folds easier that way.
Right. I agree. Next hot take is, what is the best era of R&B music?
80s for sure, but 90s edge it out, but 80, it's some jewels in the 80s that just, it's almost like if some jewels wasn't there in the 80s, you wouldn't have like a super surge in the 90s, but 90s for sure. 90s hands down.
All right, so you got 90s. What we got? Who else we, what y'all think?
I got 90s. I graduated high school in 1993. So SWV did Week Drop Week, and it went number one for weeks.
That's prime time in development.
Development right there. So, you know, and I do say early 2000s.
Really?
Late 90s with 112.
Yeah.
Boys and Men. You can see like, about these guys like that. Definitely killed it.
Boys and Men was 90s.
90s. Well, yeah. 112 was late 90s. So.
Right.
But the reason I say 80s is because you wouldn't, it can't be Drew Hill, can't be Boyz II Men if you don't have New Edition. Like,
facts.
Like,
so here's the can I speak to that? So,
in the 80s.
Yeah, I'm gonna speak to this particularly New Edition because honestly, and it might sound crazy, I was familiar with their music, but it wasn't until the story came out. That I actually I guess when the movie came out, I was like, oh, New Edition. Like, I know that might sound crazy because when I think, for me, I'm going to say 90s just because I was born in 89 and I grew up. So I'm going to piggyback off of artists. I grew up basically listening to Brandy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I grew up listening to John B. I grew up listening to Mint Condition, which I know is like to me one of the best to me, R&B groups ever. But Brian McKnight, grew up listening to Brian McKnight. Who else? I'm just trying to give you some of the artists that that were very prominent in Summer Rain. Carl Thomas. You know, I'm just thinking like these D'Angelo.
Neo Soul.
Erykah Badu.
That's what I was gonna bring.
Erykah Badu was kind of like Erykah Badu. Like these were artists that I grew up listening to. And now I'm gonna say this, 80s, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm at the expense of sounding ignorant. My dad, Anita Baker, was the go-to. Like, I'm talking about cassette tapes. He had them, and that was so.
Whitney Houston, Tony Braxton,
like Tony Braxton. But I know in our house, Anita Baker.
Yeah, Anita Baker was on replay.
It changed my life.
Yeah,
you know, and that was the first R&B I actually listened to was Casanova.
Speak closer to the joint. Yeah,
First
R&B. Just hold it.
Yeah, that's why.
First R&B that I listened to.
There you go.
Was Casanova, by LaVert, and it changed my life.
Casanova.
Yeah, and then, you know, you're Anita Baker, like I said, Whitney Houston, you know, greatest love of all. I mean, Irene Cara.
Yo, what's my girl name? I just seen her. Make it like it was. Give me her name. She's still singing now. Why can't I think of her name? Because honestly, Belinda sounds just like her. We're like. Mm-hmm.
You talking about
what's her name?
We was just having a conversation.
We just had. I don't know why I can't think of her name right now. But 80s, definitely 80s.
I think from the and until we think of that name that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. But I really think that the 80s was like an experimental. Mm.
It was
launching pad because you got to think you came off the disco of the 70s and everything moving, and then like it was a super shift, a change in what love was. I mean, you could think back, like the 60s, you're talking about like the blues R&B, like that, that kind of stuff. And you heard that then travel into like church as well, or whichever.
Well, really travel.
It was kind of
Really travel out of church, but go ahead.
It was a recycle.
One of those, but you start hearing experimental R&B, you're hearing different love stories. You're seeing different things happen in like an era. That New York, that whole East Coast. Mm-hmm. Area, you know, was just popping off with different kind of things, and you start hearing different love stories.
Yeah.
Then you start hearing that ushered in New Jack sound as well.
Man, I'm gonna tell you what, it's really tough. When you look at least from my perspective, you look at the 80s. I love the 80s. I can listen to an 80s playlist R&B wise, and I could just like zone out. I can work all day. I can answer emails. I could do anything. It just puts me in a certain like. What'd you call it? Is a catatonic state, like a very like even keel state. 90s is different. I guess you could make a case for 90s, especially the late 90s and the early 2000s when you talk about the neo-soul era.
That's the era that I remember.
That was an awakening. That was a different something different. That's kind of like you got MJ, you got Kobe, and then LeBron came along and he kind of
broke them.
Took it to a different level. Yeah. I feel like neo-soul. Yeah. And you know, it's polarized, like a lot of people don't like it, but
it's just so funny that like how we talk about everything, we always end up
back at sports.
Spot LeBron.
Well, you know, I try to use it as to make the most sense.
I know why you did, when you said neo soul music, soul child,
he's like the embodiment of
and Jill Scott,
Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, D'Angelo, all of them, even Common and them, like. Brought that whole element to
hip hop is a huge element. Even music, well, Soulchild mentioned that
neo soul is new soul, so it's like a combination of hip hop and then soul music and all that.
We talk about
that a little bit in here too. If you think about where music is now, the newest artists, they have reverted back to
that specific style. Right. Oh yeah. It's being recycled.
You can hear it in my girl. I'm like, what's her name?
Snow Allegra.
Snow Allegra. Yes.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? I don't know.
Snow Allegra.
Right.
Snow Allegra.
Yeah. I love her.
Yeah, I love her vibe though, for sure.
I love it.
She's fire.
I
hate
her. You know, you think 90s?
Check out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And she had her own. She wasn't neo soul. She was more. Hip-hop. She was hip-hop soul, right?
Yeah.
So it was a...
She's almost like a genre
of her own.
Like, because nobody else... There is no other... I haven't... Now, what other female artists...
There were groups. So you had, you know...
But
you
there's
had
no
TLC.
Other female artist that's done... But,
I'm saying there were groups, but a single...
But nobody's
single
done what she's done, right. You know?
Yeah.
Mary's
in her
own... Yeah, the queen of hip-hop soul.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's tough. I feel like the 80s is probably like... To me, it's like the culmination of everything that happened before when it comes to even everything that happened in the world. It was like 80s, like it was like a breath of fresh air.
But this is the thing,
coming out of the civil rights era, the 60s and 70s, in the 80s, like you said, it was experimental phase in sound and engineering.
Yeah, because, but I'm going to say this as far as like us coming in, like, because we were 89.
Right, 90.
90.
91.
So I'm going to speak for us. Like, so for us, 90s, we had specific memories associated with the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I remember, you know, hearing Usher My Way and watching the live performance, because he did it live in concert, like that whole album. I've got the name of it. Like, and watching it musically from a place of as a musician wanting to be on stage. But then also, but when it comes to the 80s, it's like it takes me to, it's like I have no memories associated with the music from the 80s.
You don't know you do.
Oh, yeah. There it is. But I like the way you said it. Even with having no direct memories associated with, hey, when I first heard that song or whatever, listening to the 80s, even now, as a 33-year-old man, it's like a breath of fresh air. The way you expanded on that, I think
it's
that,
like that. I don't even know how to really sum it up into one word, but
it's like I wish I was there when I hear it first.
And from the
it makes me want to be there even now. It makes me want to be there, or wish I could have been there when it was.
I tried to take myself out of the nostalgic aspect of it, because I feel like that's more feelings and like emotions are involved. I try to take myself out of, because obviously the Anita Baker, you know how,
don't forget that she's, we got to make sure we mention Stevie Wonder. That's what I was gonna say. Who was throughout Prince. the whole time
from the 70s
before 80s. That's crazy.
Because you're really talking about who's the king of R&B.
You're talking Stevie Wonder.
It's nobody else who's been around his song as
still
long.
Being sung at weddings today. Ribbon in the Sky.
What I would say, who's the Vince Carter of R&B? Uncle Charlie.
Cisco.
Uncle Charlie. He just keep going, bro. He keep going. He keep.
You know what?
To an R&B station and not hit Charlie Wilson, bro.
And I like that, because I think when they did the 75 greatest players, was Vince Carter a part of that? I don't think when they did the NBA, the greatest. I don't remember seeing Vince Carter. But here's the crazy part.
He might be 100. 100. Anyway.
Perhaps. Maybe. But I will argue, I think when he was the guy, like the guy for Toronto Raptors, like the guy, like he was that franchise player. And it's almost like, even though his career went so long, that it feels like that they forgot what he was during that time, because what you saw most of was the latter, as opposed to
honestly, the sweet spot of Vince Carter's career was probably in New Jersey with Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin.
Can I say one thing to that?
Because this is the thing you just said, like, hey, everybody always kind of forgets Vince Carter on the end, and he had a long career,
very long career.
But however, and I hate to bring it back to LeBron. He has a long career, and they say, well, these are legacy awards for him. And it's like, Vince Carter had a long career. Where's the scoring? Where's the whatever? I hate to do that when we're talking about Vince Carter singing, but I'm just saying that we keep shortchanging GOAT James. We can't.
But I think that's a great example. He would say Uncle funny. Charlie.
Why are you reading that Vince Carter,
bro? There's definitely a great deal of longevity.
He's
been able to cross from hip hop, obviously funk, hip hop, R&B. Like he is, and I'm gonna tell you, if you haven't read his book, you should read his book.
Cool. He had Charlie Wilson?
Yeah, his book. Yeah,
we got a book.
Okay. Yeah, he wrote a book. Yeah. Like I read it. Believe it or not, when we were on a cruise, it was way back. But I read it. It was good. Learned a lot.
All right, so I think for me, my consensus is nostalgia is gonna be 90s, because that's where we came from. But as far as just looking at it from an objective standpoint, I would choose the 80s, but that's just me.
Hmm. Yeah, for me to choose, man. Whitney. I'm, I was tough. Born 89, Whitney Pop, so I get a chance 80s. To. You know,
and she won't. She wasn't. She popped as a pop artist. She wasn't.
Yeah, she wasn't R&B. She technically won R&B.
The tail end, shoop de doop, and all that. Then that was R&B.
She technically won R&B. Then the end, she was more R&B.
Yeah,
but she's pop.
Dance with somebody.
Yeah,
that's disco.
That's
right. She's disco pop. Yeah.
You gave him good luck. That was
R&B.
True.
Baby
Tonight.
But holistically, I mean, Michael Jackson had some R&B songs, but he was a pop artist.
Yeah, for sure.
He was, you know, he was a pop artist,
and he's super popped in the 80s. I mean, as a solo.
Oh
but,
yeah.
But Keith Sweat.
But what I didn't know about Michael Jackson, I always thought, Off the Wall was his first album.
Oh,
and he had like two. He had two like two solo albums prior to Off the Wall.
I'm sorry.
Who?
Michael Jackson.
So explain and say it again.
But I always thought that Off the Wall was his first solo album.
No,
but it's not. He got a solo album from when he was like
he was younger,
13, 12. Yeah, like young.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you the name of it because
me neither. It's not that popular from what I understand. But
I was aware that it existed.
I didn't know that until today.
What were you saying about Keith Sweat?
Well, this is what I was saying about Keith Sweat. I watched the Versus with him and Bobby Brown.
Uh-huh.
And there was hit after hit. If you really look
at it. Oh, he could write a song. 90s,
there were so many hits. Everything he sung that night was his songs, and they were hits.
Yeah.
Mm. And or he wrote for somebody
everything
that were
he
hits.
He drunkenly stumbled over.
Yeah, he just drunkenly stumbled over. But one thing you can't dispute.
Yeah,
my man had hit.
Oh, he's definitely a heavy hitter in his own right.
Couldn't sing that well.
I guess we're not
going
to say R. Kelly. We can't.
We were talking about him earlier,
but you know,
can't talk about him again.
Hits.
Hits.
I mean, when you say Keith, and the only reason I said R. Kelly is because when you talk about you're talking about Keith Sweat, he had that whole New Jack Swing movement as well. R. Kelly transitioned through that as well too.
True.
I mean, and I'm gonna say this, man. I'm just gonna say it about R. Kelly. Situation aside, do not agree. I mean, it's very discouraging and just downright despicable. But when you think about all the songs that he wrote that he didn't even sing, not just wrote but produced from beginning to end,
mm-hmm.
sing the background vocals and everything, and then just all right, sing this like this. Yeah. With major artists,
mm-hmm.
like dude,
I think
it's just I think one Robert of the greatest Kelly, musical talents ever.
I think he's gotten all the credit that he deserves. I'm saying from a music standpoint, I've never not heard anybody say, you know what, R. Kelly is underrated. Mm-hmm. You know, he don't get
the credit that he deserves.
He's that's gotten his flowers.
Well, I believe from a music standpoint. I came on the other day on my playlist and I had a.
I'm with you.
No, it hit at the right point in time too, because I was thinking about DJ about to graduate and all that stuff, and I believe I can fly came on. I was like, it's very much, and I was like, man, let me skip this.
No, I'm with you, and it's not so much like I'm going out of my way not to listen to it, but it's like
you can't listen to it the same way.
I can't listen to it with the same spirit. Yeah, because as a kid, we grew up in the early 2000s. So R. Kelly was the guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. Yeah,
it was like R. Kelly and then Usher. You know what I'm saying? But like he was the guy. So like. You know, if anybody got a strong connection to R. Kelly as far as, you know, from a growing up nostalgic perspective, it'd be kids born in the 90s. Early 90s. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
White parties were patent after his music.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, man.
You know.
Do songs on Toy Story. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
Of course he would have.
Sure. Toy Story. All right, let's move on, man. Yeah, we do not, y'all, for the record, we are not, we do not support.
No support.
Any of that, what went on. Like, we're not, we just, hey, this, it's really sad. So. He's where he's supposed to be, so.
And the segue to another artist from the 90s, Aaliyah, was one of my favorites.
Hey.
Yeah.
If not, and
hey, I'm gonna give you another one. Because see, when I think of Aaliyah, I know obviously R. Kelly produced her early on, but I think about Timbaland. But see, but Nessa, not Timbaland as an artist, and Missy Elliott. I'm not even them as an artist, because when I think of them, they are artists, but they were like they're she's a show woman, like she's just an artist, like she can, to me, Missy Elliott can do anything. But I'm gonna get to this, because when I think of Timbaland, the first I was talking to Brittany about this the other day, Justin Timberlake. And when we were talking about so if y'all haven't seen the movie, which you might not have seen it, Turning Red. So if you got kids, I don't know if your kids have seen it. So Turning Red, it's definitely like 90s pop.
It's set in the 90s.
Yeah, 98 degrees. Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
It's that 90s boy band era.
Yeah, boy band era. So we were talking about, and it's a fake band. It's a fake group called 4Town.
They did it anyway, right, though.
They did it. Yeah, they did it. It's good. It's actually good. Yeah, it's really, really sweet.
Yeah, like, it go hard. I was like, this. Yeah. I feel like I heard this song before. Like,
yeah, but I'm saying that to say this. We were talking about the boy bands, the, you know, boy bands, and I was like, hey,
on the block.
I said NSYNC was the best, and I said, to me, and I wasn't a boy band. I wasn't a boy band fan. I hate to say, but no.
Yes, you were. It's okay.
Anyway, I'm grown man. But
NSYNC was that,
when I saw what Justin Timberlake was able to
bye. the transition to
R&B, and then how he did it to me with one of the greatest producers in my, I believe,
Timberlake.
Like, yeah. Timberlake, like, yo, that partnership that they developed,
that's another conversation we can have.
Was just
what's the best dynamic duo?
Yeah, we gonna say that.
I'm sorry to go there, but I just.